Adam?
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah,
I adore you, and thank you so much.
I adore you too, Anna.
For being here.
It's great to be here. I haven't seen you in, like, I don't know.
Ages.
Yeah. It's good to see you.
How do we... Where does
the time go?
Where the fuck does it go?
It goes somewhere because time goes so fast. Have you noticed that since you've been getting older? Well, for me, I'm 44 years old, and I don't know how that happened. That goes fast.
Adam, will you tell us a little bit about yourself? So, first of all, you and I know each other through Chris.
Yeah.
And Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And you're so fucking brilliant.
Likewise.
I love your wife. Wait, does that mean that... When you say likewise...
Oh, that means you too. Like, exactly. I feel exactly the same about you.
Okay.
You're the greatest.
Oh, I think that's just something you say, you stupid...
Likewise?
Yeah. Sim, is it something you say? Is he being a dick?
It just seemed like it was the thing to say at that point.
Well, yeah. So?
Nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
It kind of seemed like there was something wrong with it, the way you said.
I know.
Like she kind of teed it up for you, and you were like, yeah, he's a fucking asshole.
I was doing this thing on set today where I was like, I kind of got into this like blonde, like idea where I was sort of pretending to be potentially unintelligent, even though I think that I am. I was sort of giving myself a way out.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm still stuck in there.
Wait, can I ask a couple questions about
working
on Mom, which is a terrific show.
The tables are turned. All right.
Is the schedule as dreamy as I've heard?
Oh, dude. You got to get on one of these. Can you please be on Mom?
You just come for a few hours a day. Like, how does it work? I'm sure you're sick of... asked that all the time.
No, I don't. The schedule is... The hours are incredible. The tricky part is truly putting together, like, a play.
Yeah, right.
When the lines change every night.
Sure.
And feeling like... I think I've talked about this before, but, like, it's like sort of doing a really fun version of the SATs.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
Like you're trying to get it right. Like on,
and
do you tape on
SAT
one night?
My score was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I signed Friday my name nights. Literally and walked out the door. Because you get a certain amount of points for writing your name.
I like this transition. Dude, you're such a deflector.
You mean like I haven't talked about myself yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we're going to get there though.
But wait, I have one more question.
I'm about to kick you right in the kitty.
I got you. But you tape on one night, like you tape the whole show on one night.
We tape some of the show on Thursdays.
And then
Friday nights, we shoot in front of the live audience. And it's amazing. It's exhilarating. It's stressful. It's terrifying.
I would get nervous doing it in front of the audience sometimes.
Wait, have you done theater?
Yeah. I did a lot, actually.
Where?
I did a lot. Well... In high school, of course, you start doing plays.
Bye Bye Birdie?
I did. No, I never did Bye Bye Birdie. We did like 42nd Street and Guys and Dolls and, you know, all those. Did you do that in high school too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was always, because I couldn't sing or dance, I was always like, yeah, you're pointing at me like, yep,
me
we
too.
We got a connection.
Exactly the same. I couldn't sing or dance, so I was always like the bad guy. Or who are you going to say you
are? I was just like dancer number five,
sure.
Like way in the back, doing like some half attempting a Charleston.
Yeah.
Or like I had to like paint the sets. But we also did like the dramatic plays that we could do. I would be a part of and would have bigger roles, but nobody came to see.
Yeah, it was the same with me.
Folding like, chairs and there's my mom.
Yeah.
But wait, what's the best play that you were a part of or the play that like defined you?
You know, I was in a play called Everett Beacon, written by Richard Greenberg, who's an incredible playwright. And we did it at South Coast Rep down in Orange County.
That's a great theater.
It's a great theater. And it really is the acting job that really, I felt like I got the confidence to really do.
Why?
It really changed the direction of my career. Not that doing this play directly like created more opportunities with me, like in a kind of linear way. It just changed me, and it kind of opened myself up to doing more.
How?
Because, you know, when you're doing something and the dialogue is so good that it makes your job much easier, right? Like trying to polish a turd is a harder job than something like you watch The West Wing, and it's like that is incredibly hard work, but that language makes everyone come off great. Yeah. Not that it doesn't require a lot of skill to pull it off, but that dialogue is really kind of does you favors as an actor, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes it feels like Cinderella's shoe, which is how it should feel.
Yes.
Like you hear the voice instantly. You
totally
know exactly like how you're going to do.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Like you don't have to, like your job is almost done when the dialogue's that good.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like Shakespeare, the whole character is in the dialogue. Like you don't, all the questions are answered, right? So this Richard Greenberg play was like that. I played two characters in it because the first part took place in like the 1940s and the second part took place in present day. And so it's these two different characters, and they were super different, very different characters. And it just got me, I just kind of fell into a groove with it, and it really kind of got all this confidence and from it. And I was never particularly confident, but I really kind of, and this was, you know, 12 years into my career, and I was...
How old were you? Do you mind my asking?
Yeah, this was in 2000. So I was 27. And I started when I was 20. So it was 7 years into, like, professionally trying to be an actor. So it was like 7 years in, and I wasn't really getting anywhere, but I did this play, and just sort of the head of steam I got just confidence-wise and feeling good about my work and being, you know, accepted with, because Richard Greenberg is this incredible writer, and just being able to work with people like that. So I carried that confidence over and got this movie with Morgan Freeman and Ashley Judd, High Crimes, which was my first real, like, legitimate kind of big job. And the reason I got that is because I came straight from like a performance up to, drove up here and had the audition for
that. And don't you think there's nothing like, and we're going to get on to our funny or stupid little games here in a second, but don't you think there's nothing like that community too of team players?
It's the best.
It's like that buzz.
Feels like summer
that
camp.
You get like when, after you've done the curtain call,
yes,
and it's like, we did this once again. We did this once again.
It's so fun.
And it's incredibly exhausting and so exhilarating. But there's nothing like it.
Is that what it feels like here?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a little different because our audience doesn't pay for tickets. So
right.
And I say that in the most generous of ways, because they are unbelievably generous.
Yeah.
So if you fuck up, they laugh.
Yeah.
They're incredibly kind. But there isn't quite that, and it's only, you know, a 30-minute show. But there isn't
that thing where you're paying for a ticket and you're like, I am ready to laugh and get invested in this. It's,
you know,
more like,
well, I think it's a little bit more like, I haven't done theater for a long time, but there was that feeling of like kind of desperation in theater.
Huh.
Like we are in this struggle together as a team. And there's something really kind of interesting and alive that comes from that. And it's a longer process or whatever, but it's not dissimilar. And I would love it if you would ever feel like, let's create a sitcom together, Adam.
Oh, that would be so fun.
We're going to make fucking bank.
Oh, bro. So much fucking ducats.
Oh, wait. Are we like sister and brother? Wait. Oh, maybe I'm a dude.
You're a dude. And
you just call me bro?
Yeah. The show?
The show is called Bro.
Bro.
The Bro Show.
The Bro Show. Bro Show. Bro, it's the Bro Show.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, bro?
Ha 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 ha! Wait, you guys have to be the collective laughter.
Yeah, the sitcom audience.
All right, do it again.
Okay, wait. I'm just chilling.
What's up, bro? Thanks, bro.
Yeah, no problem, bro. Dude, so what the fuck, dude? You lost your job again?
Fucking yeah, I was like, I was at the job, and the guy's like, dude, like, go clean this up, and I was like, fuck you, bro. Oh,
dude, did you bring home those gummy worms?
Yeah, it was gummy worms.
Man, those are so fucking good. I like the green and the orange ones.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. I like the red ones.
That they don't taste any different, like one from the next. Like,
I know.
Dude, like they all fucking taste the same.
They taste exactly the same, bro.
Same fucking chemicals. We're all dying, dude.
Yeah, we're all gonna die eventually.
No way, dude.
Yeah,
bro. Come on.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sold. I mean, I think that
was great.
Yeah.
Netflix. Fuck yeah, Adam.
Fuck yeah, man.
Adam, what is it like to have two first names?
Wow. That's...
Or the golfer. You get that a lot, I'm sure.
The golfer, yeah. There's this famous golfer named Adam Scott. Yeah,
ooh. Is he good?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good.
I mean, I guess if he's famous or if he just has an awesome name.
There he's also very handsome, like you. He's
a very handsome golfer. I find that people
that are handsome
are very good at golf. Very good.
I love the study that you've done.
Yeah. I have been working on that one for like a long time. As a child, I always wondered, are handsome people particularly good at the sport of golf? And I was right. They are. Sorry.
Do you like golf? What's your indulgence?
I don't.
What's the indulgence that your wife hates?
Oh, boy. Television, watching television. I just love watching television. My favorite show?
Yeah.
Boy, you know what? I really love Survivor, and I love Shark Tank, and I love... Did you ever get into The Good Wife?
It's my favorite show.
The Good Wife is great. Did you watch The Good Fight?
I watched The Good Fight.
The Good Fight's terrific.
I subscribed to the CBS app because of The Good
Fight. Me too.
Without commercials, I paid the premium.
But you can't see it even with commercials without anywhere else.
There's two levels.
Oh.
You get I'm sure you got the ultra premium one too.
Yeah, bro. Got the CBS app. I do love Shark Tank and Survivor. Anyway.
Why?
Why do I love what?
Why? Because I have an indulgence, you know, like I like a little reality television. Yeah. But I have specific reasons.
Why Survivor? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And Shark Tank.
No, Shark Tank's amazing.
Shark Tank.
That's the best show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Cassie.
Why?
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. Why the fuck is it bad? Like,
That's a good question. Shark Tank, I just like. It's just, I like because every single time a person comes up, the whole show changes. It's a different show. It just keeps changing. So it keeps your attention.
God, who's your favorite shark? This fucking sucks.
No, I'm curious.
We're going on to
you're
deal
so
breakers.
Right.
We're going to go to deal breakers.
Fuck. Like,
who's your favorite shark? That's the last question for you, for me.
If you say Mark Cuban, I'm going to fucking, I'm going to kick you again.
What's his name?
Robert?
No.
Mr. Wonderful?
No.
What about the brilliant woman that's on the show?
I really like, what's her name?
Lori.
Lori, yeah.
Lori's good.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah, she's smart.
Yeah.
I think she's the smartest.
I think Cuban's the smartest.
And have you bought a lot of stupid products from watching Shark Tank?
I have.
Me too.
Yeah.
What?
Too.
Like, what's the stupidest?
This is stupidest?
So fucking bad. Yeah, yeah, go on. But
wine, I got the wine balloon.
Anna seems really into this.
We should just do a Shark Tank.
The wine
show.
What?
The wine balloon that stops your, it's a wine preservation system where after you have half a bottle, you stick this balloon in, you pump up the balloon, and it holds everything in so the wine doesn't oxidize after.
Oh, okay. I don't have that. And
then you attach a tiny little basket and you put your little chihuahua in there.
You put the chihuahua inside the wine and then you drink the chihuahua after it liquefies from decomposition. I bought, you know, the stupidest thing was this game that they're trying to make like the next backyard beach game sweeping the nation.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's where you bounce the ball onto like a trampoline type thing and then the person on
you
the other
side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
How high?
I had that as well. I don't have the money.
You have it? The ball on a fucking trampoline.
My fiance's family bought it for their beach house. Yeah.
And it sucks, right?
It's so much fun. I loved it.
Oh, really? I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it going.
Describe it as Tom Cruise.
What, the game?
Yeah. Like, okay, wait. Hey, Tom?
Yes.
Tom?
Yeah. This impression is just not an impression. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Tom, wait, I heard that there's a sport that you love that hasn't...
I love it.
Has it quite caught on? Has it caught on...
It's caught on in my mind. And that's all that matters.
It involves like something bouncy, right?
You take a ball.
Yeah.
There is a trampoline-like device. You throw the ball on the trampoline. It bounces up. Another person hits it. Hits the trampoline. Then it's in the air. Guess what happens next? Another person hits it, goes back down. You keep doing that till you can't do it anymore, till you're so tired that you fall on the ground.
It's a lot of fun.
It is? Okay, well.
So it's a game of exhaustion?
Mine just ended up out in the rain in the backyard until I just had to throw it in the garbage. It's a game of exhaustion, just like life. Cruise out. So back to your question. Yes, that's my indulgence is I just watch it because I grew up with limited television. So now that all the TV is in your thing, you have all the TV and movies you would ever hope for just in this device that you carry everywhere.
I know.
It's amazing.
Okay, so I want to talk to you more like privately about how our parents restricted us.
Yeah.
But these are called deal breakers.
Okay.
Imagine you are not married.
Okay.
You are on a first date,
mm-hmm.
and she asks for a ride to the airport for the next day.
Yep. Oh, on a first date?
Yeah, is that a deal breaker or not?
I guess so. I guess it would be, unless the date is going swimmingly, right? But even then, would it be weird? I guess it's been so long since I... Hi.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going?
Oh, this is so nice. I love this Tapas Bar. Thank you so much for taking me here.
Me too. This Tapas
is
top notch. Sure. Here.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Thanks. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Oh, I love Yaman.
It's fun pulling the Listerine strips out. That's why I like it so much.
Anyway, so what do you do?
I'm an actor.
I knew that already.
Actually. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was on your profile.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I am loving this. I'm loving this
night.
Me too.
This is a great night.
I love the wine. I love the clams. I love the yaman. I love the manchego.
Yeah, I love all that stuff too. And I love the lighting in here.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a terrific restaurant.
It's so good.
Had you been here before? Or?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, kind of like sort of.
Oh, so you have been.
Yeah. But you know, not with you.
Exactly. Yeah, because this is the first time we've hung out, so I would imagine it was
I'm having the best time, and I love it that you're an actor.
Thanks.
I have something. This crazy thing. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm checking my phone. Fuck.
What's going on?
Oh my god. Oh, fuck.
What? Oh my god. What's going on?
My aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's having some kind of fucking crisis in Orlando.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh my god. I gotta fly out tomorrow.
Oh. Is she okay or?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm so sorry.
Nope. That's all right.
Oh god. I gotta book a flight.
Do you want? Do you need some help, or can I help out?
Do you want to pay for my ticket?
For your plane ticket.
Flight to Orlando, and is there also any way that you could maybe give him a ride like tomorrow?
Give you a ride?
Yeah.
To the
I just need just LAX.
Right.
Not a big deal.
Well, I mean, I guess if it's an emergency,
God,
you
no,
know,
it's horrible. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not even quite sure what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that cool?
Sure.
Because you seem like a really awesome guy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a phone? Do you have like Uber and stuff, or is that just not something?
No,
that you're...
No. Because I don't really like. I don't want people to know my like my private information like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I think. Yeah, I mean, is that cool? I could be wrong, but I think with Uber or Lyft.
But you're
or whatever,
not working right now,
yeah.
Right?
I'm not. No. I'm not.
So you probably don't have much to do tomorrow.
I have stuff going on, but it, again,
yeah, but
if it's
much.
An emergency, that's, you know what? How about this? I have an idea. I have Uber. I have Lyft. You give me your address of where you'll be, and I can send one of those over for you. It's not a big deal at all. I can totally. It's totally fine.
Yeah, but number one, I don't want anyone to know my address, and B, number two, I don't know it.
Okay. How do you like it, say you're in a taxi or even if you're driving yourself, how do you get to your home or apartment?
It's so easy. I go past that strip club, the Seven Veils, live nudes, and right. Then there's an orange building, and I say, turn to the fight.
I'm sorry? Turn to the fight?
Yeah.
The fight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's like the other one, you know?
The
That's
other.
The hand that doesn't have the mole on it.
The hand without the mole is where you turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what? I think that's plenty of info for me to give the Lyft driver. I could send him right over.
But I kind of want to hang out with you.
Me too. This is so fun. It just hasn't taken a weird turn, so I'm totally into hanging
Thank
out with you.
Thank you for the yamon and the mandango.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Have you ever been to Ibiza?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. It's a wonderful place. Oh, have you spent time there?
Oh, only like in my dreams.
Oh, so you've... Okay, so you... Sorry,
oh my gosh.
You have not.
I had this crazy dream last night that was like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And I was like, I am in Ibiza. And it just felt so good. I felt so alive.
Okay, so you have not actually been there. I'm sorry, I'm not clear on you in Ibiza and what. It's
so
a
you
beautiful
were,
place.
You're cool. Yep. You don't mind because my aunt is. I think she's in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Can I just real quick? Can we go over exactly what I've signed on for? I'm driving you to the airport in the morning.
First, you have to buy the plane ticket.
Right. First, I'm buying the plane ticket for you.
Yeah.
And real quick, what's going on with your aunt? Because
she's just in a lot of trouble.
Meaning.
I think that she got arrested for shoplifting.
Okay.
At Target.
Yeah. And that's something you need to be there for?
Yes.
Right.
Oh my God, wouldn't you? Holy fuck,
well,
dude. What the fuck? You mean you wouldn't like come, like if your family member like had a serious problem and got arrested and maybe there's some domestic violence involved. I don't know. But you wouldn't like. God, you're a dick.
No,
man.
I was just asking.
You are a fucking dick. You know what? I don't need your fucking help.
Okay. Okay. Then I'm officially off the hook for all of this.
Yeah, I guess so.
You hung in there longer than
yes,
I thought.
Yes, yeah, you were amazing.
That's way too nice a guy, whoever that was. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Anna, so just pick like two or three more because
okay.
I just want to...
Okay, but it's so fun. I'm having a great time.
Wait, are you okay on time? We might go a little over. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
good? All right.
Yeah.
She tells you, you look like her brother.
No, that's not a deal breaker.
What?
I don't think that's a deal breaker. Really?
Sim, is it for
is that,
you?
Is that that?
I guess
I mean,
it is for him.
I'm out the door.
Really?
Done.
Oh, okay.
What?
It's weird. That's a weird thing to say.
You look like my brother and you're on a first date. You don't even know each other
yet.
Well,
then you immediately know that she's not going to sleep with you. So I'm out.
Oh.
I don't know.
What? Is that the thing?
I don't know. That's one of the things, I'm sure.
Oh,
if someone
fuck.
Says that to you, you know that there will be no, absolutely no sexual relationship whatsoever.
No. Huh. What if she's incredibly manipulative, which means she's a good lay?
If she's manipulative?
Yes.
Wait, keep
you
going.
You don't want to like date her forever.
Yeah.
But... if she says something like that with like a grin on her face. All right, let's try it. Let's give it a whirl.
Me or Adam? Adam.
Okay. Hi.
Hey.
Oh my gosh. Hey, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for like meeting up last minute.
Oh my God. No, this is my pleasure. I love this place.
It's so crazy that we know Lauren in common.
I know.
She's so weird.
Lauren's been a friend for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It is weird. She's never mentioned you, but that doesn't mean you
guys. No. We're really tight. But God, this is so weird. I'm having like, okay, I hope this doesn't sound crazy.
What?
You look a lot like my brother.
Like your brother?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Tom Cruise.
Is your brother Tom Cruise?
Well, he never wants me to mention it, but...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Your brother is Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's fucked up. He's never, like, supported me. I wanted to be an actress, and he was like...
So it's the actor Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
You have to deal break it off with this girl. She's the worst.
This particular girl, yes, I think that would maybe.
But otherwise, it wouldn't be a deal breaker.
I don't know. I was just thinking in the. I guess it is kind of weird now, kind of playing it out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Again, it's been so long that things like. I guess so. I guess that would be a weird thing. Yeah.
This will be interesting because how long have you been with your wife, first of all?
We've been together like 19 years.
That's amazing.
But then we had a year where we were apart, like in the early 2000s.
So you haven't been on a date since your early 20s, would you say? Oh, you had a break in between.
Since late 20s, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like
yowza.
It's a compliment.
Are you in a single life? Like,
not anymore.
Out there?
Guess what, Adam?
I'm engaged.
I'm marrying them.
Yeah.
You are really?
Uh-huh,
that's great.
I'm getting married next month.
No. I'm so excited to tell you. Yes.
That's amazing.
I get to marry them.
That's great.
It's going to be amazing.
What if right now your fiance walked in and this is a surprise ceremony right here and you get married right now?
I would probably go with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have to deal with the whole wedding and
done.
All that stuff.
Dunzo. Love it. Save a lot of money too.
Yeah. A lot of money. Weddings are expensive.
They are expensive.
Wait, I'm so confused about what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
So wait, Amy is supposed to come in here.
Surprise us.
And get married in my dressing room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everything's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then we're done with the wedding.
Yeah.
All right.
You would not have to deal with
That's it.
A wedding.
I love it.
So she uses her oven as storage space.
Like Sarah Jessica Parker, and didn't she keep her sweaters in the oven in Sex and the City?
Oh my God. Look at Cassie.
Yeah. Cassie's like, that's where
right?
I got it from.
Yeah.
How
no,
the
that's
fuck
not a deal
do you know that, Mr. Shark Tank? Mr. Survivor. Oh, yeah. We know what your secret obsession is, right?
Sex and the City was a terrific show. It truly, truly was, right?
I loved it too. Hey,
yeah,
listen, we have the same taste in TV.
Whoa.
I think so.
Whoa.
Shark Tank, Sex and the City, nothing else. That's
are you guys
it.
Both
and Good Fight.
The only
and
shows.
Good Wife.
And Good Wife and Good Fight.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen another show.
I don't want to see
all
anything
I want.
Else. Do you watch Suits?
And Suits? Other than that?
No,
I've never seen Suits.
Suits is awesome.
Never seen Suits.
No.
It's a great
Wait,
show.
What's the
but I do, that actor, Patrick J. Adams, is terrific.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Terrific. Total Charlotte.
But I have not actually
seen. We have two fucking Charlottes right here.
Yep. Two Charlottes going at it. Getting into it on the shows.
Oh, you stupid dicks.
I know.
Okay, you notice every towel she owns was stolen from various hotels.
Well, that's a good one. Boy, I would think that's interesting more than a deal breaker. I would like that. I would think there's a cool story there.
Definitely.
Or a series of cool stories.
I'd want to know more. She's an interesting person for doing that. Is it a collection?
You guys think
is she
you
a
can
klepto?
Fuck her on a plane. Yeah. You can't fuck her on a plane.
Wait, I'm sorry?
Where did that come from?
What? Yeah, how?
The kind of person who steals a bunch of towels.
You can fuck on a plane or you cannot.
Wants to fuck on a plane. And I'm telling you, you're going to get arrested.
Wait. How did you make that
how
leap?
How am I now all of a sudden getting arrested on a plane?
You're getting arrested, but you're getting hauled
off. For fucking on a plane.
But what does that have to do with towels?
Cassie.
Stealing towels.
Cassie, you know the link.
There's no link. Oh, you're asking Cassie for the link.
If this is a woman who feels okay with, I mean, stealing one towel, that's one thing. But she gets off on stealing towels. I feel like there's a little...
I wonder if she gets off on it or if it's just a thing.
Well, I mean, like, she's okay with it. Like, yeah. Morally, she's like, oh, okay, I'm okay with it. I feel like there's, like, a little something. Well, yeah, a towel, not, like, 10 of them.
Is that a huge moral chasm that you have to cross in order to steal a bunch of towels
from
hotels?
It's like the idea of getting off on breaking the rules.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's the same type that's going to do something a little.
And I'm just saying it's hot, but you guys are in trouble.
You know that there are women that steal little things from dinner parties, just like a little, like an ashtray or just something, a little memento.
What do you mean women?
Yeah.
I've met a couple
Fuck? You're sexist?
They have a little bit
fucking sexist.
I've never met a man that does that. I'm sorry, but just, I have met a couple of women that they get a thrill of stealing a little bit. Just a little, nothing much.
Did you go
much.
Through a klepto stage? And
never.
Your...
No, I'm anti-klepto. I can't. Stealing is wrong. Wrong.
Wow.
Okay, wait. One last one, then we're taking a break.
Yep.
She has a pet raccoon.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. Sorry.
Why?
That's a deal breaker.
You hate raccoons. You hate creatures with four legs.
I creatures with opposable thumbs is something that I can't get behind.
Crafty ones that have family values.
Raccoons can, like, open doors, right? Because can't they? They can turn doorknobs. Raccoons are insane.
Yeah, they're scary.
But, you know,
you are
I get
so
it.
So
going to
be hearing from the raccoon,
the raccoon girl
of America.
I know someone that has a friend who has a pet possum, I believe, that is like a domesticated possum in their house.
It's so gross.
Can you imagine? Are you sure it's not a scooter?
A scooter?
Isn't that another?
You know what?
Sort of marmot.
You're right.
Marmot.
It's a scooter.
You know what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking about we have an animator does these little animations. I'm just thinking about what they're gonna do for this episode. Who knows? It could be the scooter. There's so many ways to go with this.
A scooter
possum.
Sorry.
Yeah.
A scooter. That's what I meant to say, scooter.
Yeah. They're, you know, they come from South America.
Sure.
And they have, you know, that more weird, like, paddle-like tail.
Yeah.
Should we take a break and then do calls?
Yes.
All right.
Adam,
we have
you're the best.
Two calls coming up. Let's take a quick break. Thank you, Adam.
Emma.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So, Emma, I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Anna.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you.
I am so happy to talk to you. You have no idea. But I'm like giddy with excitement.
Anna's going to introduce our special guest to you.
Adam Scott, who has been a dear friend of ours for a long time. Adam,
Hi.
Do you know how to use your words?
Hi. I'm new to using words, and Anna's really helping me out, so thank you.
I'm new to using words on podcasts, so we'll do it together.
Terrific.
One step at a time.
So you are in San Francisco, and you're 24. Emma, tell us about this sweet Texan man that you met.
Okay, so in June, I went to Austin for a bachelorette party. And one of the girls and I went out for barbecue, and we asked our Lyft driver, like, the typical Lyft questions, like how long he worked for Lyft, and he told us that he works in tech, but he's driving to keep his mind off of something. And we invited him to barbecue, and he was really sweet and told us he's having some issues with an ex. And at this point, like, I'm not thinking anything romantic about him, but we exchanged numbers and we told him we wanted to do something really Texan that night. So he took us to a honky tonk And outside of the building was a banner that read, "Welcome to Honky Tonk Heaven." And I asked him if he knew how to two-step, and he totally took the lead. And it was like a completely magical moment. Like, I've never done something so romantic, like being led by someone who knows what they're doing and they're actually trying.
Oh, I love this.
That's so romantic. Sweet.
Yeah. And so I told him, I said, "This is the most romantic thing I've ever done." And he responded by taking my hand and putting it on his chest and said, "Feel my heart." And it was racing. And so I had caught the feels hard at that point. He was super cute. And like, the people here don't make romantic gestures like that or say sweet things like that. And we spent the rest of the night talking. And I have this Shel Silverstein tattoo on my arm from the
Missing
Piece.
Oh, that's cool. What is it?
The Missing Piece Meets the Big O.
Oh,
are you familiar?
God.
With
oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah, so it's all about, I mean, for me, the way I took it is that it's about, you should have a romantic partner that doesn't complete you, but rather one that you can grow and change with. And it like was a message that really resonated with him, and we talked about that and just life in general, and we kept talking. I left the next day and we kept talking on the phone, and he would talk about how rare of a connection something like this is and tell me how much he wanted to be with me. And he even like told me he was looking at jobs in San Francisco. And he sent me, like, a couple weeks later, it was my birthday, and he sent me a card and drew my tattoo inside of the card. And it was all really magical. But I would get off the phone from him, and I would just like get into these overthinking stress spirals. Like, how is this actually gonna work? Like, I believe in some dating rules, but I also believe when you find someone that you connect with, you can kind of throw them out the window. And but I at the same time couldn't tell him that I wanted him to move here or be willing to like have him move here just for me after spending a day with him. And another huge thought of mine was, like, he mentioned he was having issues with an ex, and I know that when you're trying to get over someone, it's really easy to get caught up in feelings for someone else just to try to distract you from the pain that you're going through. So it was just all of this stuff made me think really hard. And we got off the phone one day and we were talking about meeting up, and I stopped responding. I freaked out and stopped responding. And he sent me a couple texts like about dates that would work for him or like different flights we could take to see each other. And I just like went cold and stopped responding. And I really thought that I was saving myself from heartache, but 3 months went by and I still think about him all the time. And I feel super heartachy when I think of him. And so I decided like maybe the issue was me overthinking everything. And I wrote him a letter telling him I was sorry that I went cold and that I still have feelings for him. And I left it really open-ended because I really just wanted to reconnect and see where things would go. And I felt like relying on the postal service to deliver my letter was like putting it in the hands of fate, which I thought I was cool with until a week went by without hearing anything. And I was like, oh, what's going on? So I texted him just to tell him that I sent it. And he texted me back and told me that he got the letter and he still thinks of me all the time and has feelings for me, but he needs to think about it longer and that maybe we could talk the next day. And another week went by. And that was the point where I talked to Sim yesterday, and I really just didn't know the best way to move forward. But fate has kicked into high gear, and Sim, I actually got a text from him this morning.
Okay, what did he say?
All he said was, "Hey."
Oh.
I know. I haven't responded.
Was it out of the blue, though?
Yeah, but was it a "hey," like meaning he wanted to engage in an actual text conversation? Some people will write me and say, "Hi, Sim," and then hoping that they can have an actual conversation. Or was it just a "hey"?
I don't know.
But
wait, when was the last time you guys had a text exchange?
The last time we texted was a week ago when I told him that I sent the letter.
Oh.
And he told me he was still thinking and that maybe we could talk tomorrow, but he still has feelings for
me. Oh, well, then he is reaching out and wants to start a dialogue. I mean, you're the one that blew him off. So
He's right.
Adam's right.
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
No.
Have a counter argument.
Okay. But you're the one who blew him off. So you reached out. He said, let me think about this, because clearly he was very hurt by you going cold, right?
So he said that he wasn't, he didn't say he wasn't hurt, but he said that he didn't have anything negative towards me, didn't feel anything negative towards me.
Yeah, but if you guys were hot and heavy texting and keeping in touch wise, and suddenly you just stop, of course he was hurt by that, whether he says so or not.
Why are you, Anna, I don't understand this.
Because we're not exploring a crucial piece of the puzzle, which is the relationship that this guy had before.
Right.
And
wait, what? I don't know. What was that?
He's just getting out of a relationship or just got out of a relationship, right?
It wasn't really clear. Like, he said he was having some issues with an ex, and I didn't press on it, but it seemed like it was still pretty fresh. And like, that was the reason why he was driving for Lyft. He made it seem like he needed to keep his mind busy from a breakup. So it seemed pretty fresh.
By driving for Lyft?
Yeah.
That's what was keeping him busy.
Just socializing with people, probably. Yeah. Anna, I know you have so many thoughts on this.
I just think that, to me, the story's not adding up on his end. It seems like he's still involved with his previous relationship, because I believe that if this guy was really super motivated to be with Emma, I feel like he would be more aggressive instead of being a little passive aggressive and being like, well, I need time to... I mean, they had what, one hot, incredible night together? How is her sort of not contacting him for a little bit, freezing him? How devastated, you know what I'm saying?
Because it sounds like they were getting very close just over text and email and talking on the phone. That's what it sounds like. And then she suddenly just shuts it off.
Exactly.
Adam,
yeah,
isn't that what happened?
That's valid. We were getting really close, and I was worried that I really hurt him by going cold on him.
Anna, listen to me. You're shaking your head like there's no way. I want to say something.
No, I'm not saying there's no way.
Here's what I think.
I just don't believe.
As a guy, I'm putting myself into this dude's head right now. I'm really into this girl. I put myself out there, and I make a plan to see her, visit her, or have her visit me. And then all of a sudden I hear nothing. You know what I'm thinking as a guy? I'm thinking in this app culture, she swiped and is dating another dude or found a bunch of other dudes because it's so easy. And then now I'm thinking if she's reaching out to me again after 3 months or however long it has been, it's because it didn't work out with the guy that she started dating. Because who knows what people are doing when you're in different cities?
Right. How women are worried about getting played, but truly how many guys are really worried about getting played?
I am always.
Don't they want to? They're worried
I'll tell
about
you
getting
why.
Laid.
Because there are way more options for women in this app dating culture than there are for men. It's the truth.
Cassie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. Absolutely. I mean, not every guy, but I feel like maybe some guys are tougher about it. But
oh,
I think
my
when
God.
You.
Emma, were you guys that night? I didn't catch this. Were you guys. I'm getting personal, but were you guys intimate? Like, did you guys.
No, we just kissed. Like, he kissed me goodnight, and that was it.
Well, I feel like him texting, hey, this morning means that he wants to start a dialogue, and he's, like, ready to do that. He's either healed up or out of... I don't know, but it sounds like he's ready. If that's what you want, it sounds like he's ready to do that.
You think?
Well, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't reach back out.
I don't know how to respond to a three-letter.
Well, I think that she's asking to re-engage, and so he said, give me a day, and then he took a few days, and then he's saying, okay, I'm ready to engage. And since she's the one that kind of ghosted him, ghosted Sundays on Fox at 8:30 right after The Simpsons, since she's the one that disappeared, then he's maybe a little gun shy and just saying, hey, like, okay, I'm giving it a shot. I think the ball's in your court.
So do you think I need to, like, kiss some tushy right now or what? Like, I don't know where to go.
What do you think, Anna? I feel like you disagree.
I want to make sure that, Because you know what? Here's the thing, though. I don't know how people communicate anymore. So when, like, if a guy texted me, hey, I would have no idea how to respond.
But I think that she has, but I think she has set it up where she's saying, I want to get back into communication with you. And he's like, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. And then he's saying, hey, like, okay, I'm kind of ready to do it. He's a little gun shy, right?
Of course he is. And why wouldn't he be? She completely blew him off.
Right.
Any guy would be. Any nice, sweet guy would be.
I don't know how I got so cynical. But
I don't think you're being cynical. I think you're being protective of Emma. Of Emma, which
my
is
dear
great.
Emma. Emma is...
It's okay. I told Sim yesterday, though, I really do want a male perspective on this because I don't have many straight male friends, and I don't know, like, what
well,
it
neither
would
of us are straight
like
either, so.
To receive some grand gesture letter in the mail.
I think, you know, maybe text him, like, something along the lines of, and maybe you guys could help, like, help formulate a crafty... text where something along the lines of like, I know we haven't connected for a little while. I miss you. I hope you're well. I'd love to talk to you.
I would just text, can
if
we
you
talk
want to.
On the phone?
Because
yeah.
you want
to talk on the
yeah,
phone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
for sure.
Just be upfront about it and get the texting. Because you're going to be questioning every text back and forth until you get on solid
right.
ground again.
Well, I don't want to text a conversation,
yeah.
like a first conversation about this.
You have to get back on solid ground with him so you're not second-guessing stuff. You need to know what's going on.
How old is he, though, Emma?
He's in his late 20s. I think like 27 or 28.
That feels a little too old to like my personal opinion, to just be texting, hey.
I think you guys are, Emma and Anna are both dwelling a little bit
okay,
too much
I think
on
you're
the
having a hard
text.
Time with your vowels.
What? I said Emma and Anna.
Are we?
You did
I'm
great.
I'm reading a lot into these three letters.
Will you keep us posted on
yes,
this?
Yes. Tell us how it all shakes
yeah.
down here.
I love it that you're thinking, I remember being 24 and crushing so hard. It felt so fucking good and tormenting.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep us posted. Okay, Emma.
Emma, thank you so much okay. for hanging out with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck. Call him.
Call him. Yes. That's it.
I'll just call him right now.
Yes.
Do it. Do it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I love it.
Bye.
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 Oh,
so
God,
you have
I hope
to leave,
she does.
Right?
Yeah.
I do. I'm
okay, so why don't you go? We'll do the last call by our... Cassie, you'll take Adam's spot. Adam, wait, I got to plug your show. Hang on, before you go. All right. Ghosted, which is awesome, by the way.
Thank
and
you.
Craig Robinson is your co-star. He's amazing.
Yes, thank you.
He's the great.
Oh,
he's
we should, the greatest. We need to get him on this show.
Oh, he would be terrific.
He's so fun.
Craig would be
Adam?
Great giving people advice.
Yeah.
Better than me at giving people
you
advice.
You were fucking great.
I would, by the way, I would love to do give people advice for hours. That's fascinating.
Will you come back?
I would
come
love
back.
To.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, if I come
thank
back,
you.
Can we just do that for an
yes.
hour and a half?
You gave amazing advice. Thanks, Adam, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Really, this
thank
is
you, Adam.
So fun.
I so
and thank you,
it.
You guys. And yes, Ghosted is on Sundays after.
And the Disaster Artist, which I can't wait to see, December 1st. Cassie and I are actually going to see a screening of it on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Right on.
Are you going?
I'm in it for half of 1 second, but I haven't seen it yet. I hear it's terrific.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
All right, so Cassie, you're going to take over Adam's spot here. We're going to call Erin. Erin is 34 and she's in Ontario.
I love all cities that start with a vowel.
Do you really? Or are you just saying that? I don't believe
Jesus. Why the fuck would I? Orlando. Oh,
well, that's a great city. Orlando is awesome. Is Erin picking up?
Atlanta.
Hello.
Hey, Erin.
Hey.
How are you? I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Erin.
Hey, Anna. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, so good. Thank you.
Thanks for being a part of this crazy, weird experiment podcasting.
So exciting. You guys are probably having so much fun.
We're having a great time, but Adam Scott had to leave. So Cassie, do you know Cassie, our head writer?
You get me.
Yeah,
she's,
well,
she's taking his spot.
Hi, Cassie's, how are you?
She's awesome. Amazing. Cassie's a superstar. So you're... The subject of your email is, do I tell him to man up or man out? So, Erin, tell us what you are referring to.
All right, guys, here it is. So, 10 years ago, I had like a weekends only romance with a 20-year-old American. I live in Canada, and at the time I was 24. And then 9 years and 8 months ago, I learned I was pregnant. So basically, we had seen each other only 16 times. Also, public safety announcement, birth control really let me down.
Oh.
And then when I was 6 months pregnant, I felt like he was really withdrawn and I was scared that I was trapping him. So I suggested that we break up. And then right before the birth of our daughter, he pursued his dream, which I had always known about, and he moved to California. So since then, we've had biannual visits, like in July, and then also at Christmas. And then, this is so much, but, and then 5 years ago, I married my soulmate, and my daughter's dad, he came to our wedding, which was the first time he had met my husband. And now, her dad, we think he's amazing. He comes around 2 times a year and he stays with us for like a week at a time to visit. So it's all great and wonderful. The unfortunate thing is that in between visits, he seems to like totally vanish and he's completely uninvolved. So my husband recently has been thinking that we have to tell him to like step up and be super involved, or just like back out, because he's afraid that our daughter is going to start to like feel confused and like a little bit heartbroken. And I hadn't really considered that because I always thought as long as I was super kind and like really positive and welcoming that they would work out their relationship on their own time. So now I'm at the point where it's like, do we just leave things as they are, which are very like fun and kind and loving, but totally infrequent? Or should like my husband talk to him, or maybe should I talk to him? So like, what can we do? What's best for our daughter? I have no idea.
Well, so how is your daughter? How frequently does she talk about her birth daddy?
Never.
How old is she?
It's like,
she's 8.
She's 9. She's going to be 9 now. So it's only like when the visit is pending, or if I bring him up. But it's not really like a thing that's like existing to her. But then at the same time, 2 weeks a year, it's like super dad fun week. It's a super event, you know? So he does exist, but not like every day.
So and truly, like your daughter does, like she seems okay with the relationship with your husband and the relationship, I, you know, because that's the biggest concern, right? Is like how she's feeling. Does she sort of mourn or the reason why I'm asking is because I just want to make sure that everyone's priorities are sort of focused on her.
Well, like, absolutely. And that's why I'm calling, right? It's like, she seems okay all the time. And I always thought like, I just have to be positive and be welcoming and like, everything's going to work out in the end. But then eventually my husband was kind of like, you know, I think eventually as she starts to get older, she's going to feel like a little bit, neglected and a little bit of a loss. And so once he brought that to my attention, I started wondering, like, should we ask more of him? And if so, how do we do it?
You know, I am so unqualified.
Oh, like, my God, I was going to say the same thing about
me. I know. I think that it might be worth, like, talking to a child therapist about this. But what I will say is that it could also be, like... as long as you're totally focused and listening to your daughter, it could also be two male egos duking it out a little bit. I don't mean to be presumptuous in that.
This is interesting because obviously I'm not a father, so I can't. You're thinking egos could be getting in the way?
I think that, yeah. And, you know, and it's not like I think, man, this is a tough one. This is a doozy because it would break my heart if I, you know, only saw my child twice a year. And I would resent my partner for only, like, but at the same time, I don't want to plant that seed necessarily, which I just did. But I think that it's all about communication. Maybe you can ask your husband and say, what would be your ideal situation? Would you want my ex being like a part of our lives, and how much? Do you not want that at all? Or
he wants him there all the time. Like, on our wedding day, he like took him aside and he said to him, I want you to know that there's not 1 minute that I will ever stand between your relationship with your daughter, even though I am marrying her mom.
Oh, that's like, really sweet. Yeah.
You found a great guy. Really, you found a really great guy.
That's really great.
I know that. Like, we are so welcome to it. When he comes to our house, like, we love him and we hang out, and like we even take him to parties with our friends and stuff. Like, we have a great time, but we just don't know how to get him to show up just on Monday and call her for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's the future, man. Like, there's Skype and there's FaceTime and iMessage. Like, we don't know how why do you come twice a year if you don't want to be there on Wednesday for no reason, and, you know?
Where does he live again? You said he moved to California?
Yeah, he did. So he was from the Midwest, and he always planned to move to California. And, like, I think that's great.
You guys live here, too?
So I live in Canada.
Oh, you live in Canada. Okay, I see what you're saying. And does he pay child support?
No, but that's something that I never wanted. Like, I never wanted my child to be a bill, if that makes sense. Like,
right. Erin, you're noble. You're incredible.
No, but I'm okay alone. Like, so I always thought maybe that money would go to the flight. Like, I understand it's expensive. You know what I mean? And I thought, like, if you didn't have to put that money into support, then maybe you would take the flight every 2 months or...
You know what? You know what's interesting? Normally it's the opposite. This is the first time I'm seeing a situation where you actually want the ex to come around and be there, as opposed to, because if I was married to you, I'd probably, if it's this guy, if, you know, he feels like a deadbeat. He only comes twice. He doesn't do it. I would feel like, all right, we're better off without him, and we'll raise our daughter
the
way. Yeah,
but the beautiful thing about Erin is that
she's so inclusive.
Right. She's like looking out for her daughter.
Yes, I know.
Because Erin, I'm sure you've already come to this realization that, like, as your daughter gets older, she's going to wonder about her birth father. And the more generous you guys can feel of spirit and in terms of being inclusive, even when it feels completely unjust, the better it will be for her. And that is like, that is just unbelievable. That's like unbelievable generosity.
Yeah. And I think you said something interesting where you mentioned Skype, and you mentioned even like you hadn't had a conversation with him yet. And maybe you should reach out to him and talk to him and just take a baby step of like, could we set up a Skype call between you and him, between your daughter and him, like once a month, once a week, and kind of see if that's something he's open to.
That's actually really good, and because if he likes it, and then you see that the response from the daughter is such that she's excited to talk to her dad over FaceTime.
Build that relationship
slowly. And build it
slowly,
little building blocks.
And then they can start to, you know, solidify that bond, and then maybe hopefully that could turn into like, you know, seeing her more than 2 times a year. But maybe just like reaching out, talking to him, because he may not even know it's a problem, sadly. You know, if he's thinking they're fine with this. No one brings up anything, so maybe.
The reality is, like, we have done that for years, and, like, it's actually declined significantly over time, which is unfortunate because now she's, like, she's so cool, and she's totally interesting, and she finally can
create and hold a conversation. But as the years have passed, like, sort of less and less. Like, we used to do that all the time. But he just, I feel like now he needs to take some initiative, you know?
Of course,
and
she, oh my God.
Because she has the power to respond.
Well, listen, this is sad. You know what the worst part is that this is going to be his devastation one day.
Oh yeah.
And your daughter will suffer because of this too. And that can't be helped, because you can't force someone's will. But this is like this is seriously his loss. And I'm so sorry, but it sounds like, man, you guys are just doing an unbelievable job. I'm not sure my advice, which I'm so fucking unqualified to give, but would be, just make sure that you, like, you, as you know, like, protect her. And I wouldn't even rock the boat. I wouldn't make any ultimatums. I wouldn't do anything.
Just keep doing this as they.
Yeah, I kind of would, because her well-being is the most important thing. And like, any stress that she picks up on, she's old enough now to pick up on some of that stuff. So any of that stress.
I like that. I think that's really good.
And it sounds like she has a great man at home raising her.
Yeah.
So she's really lucky.
By the way, your husband sounds awesome.
And you,
oh, he's the best.
You're amazing.
Okay, but I want to ask you guys, hypothetically speaking, if you were to create a plea, if you were to plea with this man, what would you say to him? Like, if you want to say, like, wake up, you just would let him just float away?
Oh, I feel like she feels like she
this
has.
This is someone I loved. He's a great person.
I know.
And have you ever said anything to him about how?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have had a conversation.
All the time.
And what's his response when you are like, listen, I feel like you're missing out on her life? What does he say?
He's a very, like, non-needy person, so he doesn't know how to, like, reciprocate a lot of emotion.
That's not an excuse. I don't care if that's the case, if that he's like that. I mean, it's your daughter.
Whoa.
What do you mean, whoa? What does that mean?
I just mean, like, just, you know, protect Aaron a bit, because...
I am protecting Aaron. I'm looking out for Aaron here. If he does not want to make the effort, and Aaron has been trying for years...
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. What I'm saying is that it's incredibly, unbelievably vulnerable for a woman to get pregnant, to fall in love, get pregnant, have a baby with somebody who isn't there. And so, like, listen, Aaron, I have to tell you, I don't like this guy.
No, I was so scared you would say that. Don't say that.
No.
I know him well, and I like him so much.
I'm sure you do. I bet. Listen, there's a reason why you like had this with him. What I don't like is how he hasn't been supportive towards you. And so I don't mean to attack him or like, you know, I really don't. The only thing I just want to say is I just want you to protect yourself, you know, and there isn't anything you can do to change somebody's actions.
Yeah, you're right.
All you can do is sort of protect yourself, protect your daughter, protect your husband, go camping, like seriously, make s'mores, and you know, celebrate the joy in life, and make sure that you know, constantly just look out for each other and yourself, most importantly. If you look out for yourself, then you're looking out for everybody.
So you guys think we should just keep coasting? Like, that's your advice?
I feel definitely. Like Erin feels like she can't, though, right? Am I right, Erin? Like, you feel like you don't feel okay with just letting him get away with that. Am I right?
No, it's not that. I just...
Or not talking to him about
better.
It?
I think he's better than it. And I want him to, like, find it in himself.
He hasn't shown that he's been better than that. He hasn't shown... History has shown that he...
It.
Yeah.
I mean, if you... like I said, if you have a conversation with him, but... I don't know. It sounds like, I don't know if it's going to change it much.
Hey, Aaron, we actually have to go, but I feel like this is unresolved. We should talk again in a few months.
Erin,
absolutely.
You're amazing. And I bet your daughter's incredible. And thank you so much. And
thank
I love you.
Thank you so much, Erin.
Anna, I want to tell you one thing.
Oh, yeah.
We're great fans of Sam Sparks.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I think it's important. Sam Sparks. It's super underrated and totally epic.
Thank you. Oh, Erin,
right,
thank
guys,
you
thanks
so
a
much.
Lot.
Thanks. Good
thanks.
Luck.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we need to get to class.
Yeah, we have to get to class.
That's so cool that we can say that.
It's time to go be Professor Zeke too.
Good night, everybody. Good night, campers. How, what do you want to call them?
Dear listeners, when I first started Twitter, I started like by having this idea about camp, and I had like 3 or 4 followers, and I wanted to call them my campers. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think.
I love it.
I want my campers.
All right.
Because I have a fucking vision.
You got them. You got them. Good night, everyone.
I love you guys.